नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we'll be reading from Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text 38, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. Please repeat. Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Vritraiti Abhivikyato Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Vritraiti Abhivikyato Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Vritraiti Abhivikyato Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha. Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha. Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Vritraiti Abhivikyato Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Vritraiti Abhivikyato Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha Yajne Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Vritraiti Abhivikyato Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha Jnana Tvastu Dakshinagnao Danavim Yonim Ashritaha Jnana Vijnana Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha. Thank you. Jagnye was born Tvastu of the Brahmana known as Tvasta. Dakshina Agno in the fire sacrifice known as Dakshinagni. Danavim demoniac. Yonim, species of life. Ashritaha, taking shelter of. Vritraha, vritra. Iti, thus. Abhivikyataha, celebrated. Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha, fully equipped with. Transcendental knowledge and practical application of that knowledge in life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please listen. Being cursed by Mother Durga, Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, the same Chitraketu accepted birth in a demonic species of life. Although still fully equipped with transcendental knowledge and practical application of that knowledge in life, he appeared as a demon at the fire sacrifice performed by Tvasta, and thus he became famous as Vritrasura. Purport. The word yoni is generally understood to mean jati, family, group, or species. Although Vritrasura appeared in a family of demons, it is clearly said that his knowledge of spiritual life still existed, Jnana Vijnana Samyutaha. His spiritual knowledge and the practical application of that knowledge in life were not lost. Therefore, it is said that even if a devotee falls down for some reason, he is still not lost. Yatra kva vabhadram abhuram amushitkim ko vartapo bhajatam swadharmaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, verse 17. Once one is advanced in devotional service, his spiritual assets are never lost under any circumstances. Whatever spiritual advancement he has achieved continues. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Even if a bhakti yogi falls, he takes birth in a rich family or family of brahmanas, in which he again starts devotional activities from the point where he left off. Although Vritrasura was known as an asura or demon, he did not lose his consciousness of Krishna or devotional service. Did you ever read the purport and you thought, what more could I say about this? This is one of those purports, so I'll try somehow to elaborate however I can. So, just to summarize what has happened so far, Chitraketu was traveling through outer space. He had a divine airplane that could take him anywhere he wanted to go. So while he was traveling, he saw Parvati sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva had his arm around her. He was embracing her. And when he saw her, he began to criticize her, or criticize him. He began to criticize Lord Shiva. And, you know, Lord Shiva, they said he was smiling a little. He didn't mind, but Parvati immediately became very angry and cursed him. And she said he was too proud, and therefore she cursed him to be born in a family of demons. Chitraketu then, he didn't react. Actually, he had the ability. They say he had the ability, he had the power to curse her back. He could say whatever he wanted and curse her, but actually he didn't do anything. And he said, you know, he was unaffected by the dualities of happiness and distress. And he said, whatever we're going through is due to our past activities. And he said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller who remains neutral in all circumstances. And then he leaves. Lord Shiva then, kind of in his own way, explains the same message. And then Parvati cooled down. She became okay. Then Lord Shiva begins to glorify the Vaishnavas for being impartial, and because the aim of a Vaishnava is to surrender to Krishna and to always serve Krishna. It's not about, you know, being a demon or being, you know, in higher planets or anything like that. So while meditating on this, and Prabhupada speaks very much about how, about retaining Krishna consciousness, like it doesn't go down, and I was thinking about how Krishna consciousness is not like, it's not like a bicycle tire. You know, every day I have to pump my bicycle tire. And then by the time I get to school, my tire is flat. So I don't know if anybody else has this problem. Maybe I just have a very special, you know, I have a very special relationship with my bicycle. Just as like Vishnu has Garuda and like Ganesh has, you know, the mouse, I have my Miss India Gold purple bicycle. And Krishna consciousness is not like that bicycle tire where it's like as you go through bumps, it gets flatter and flatter, and then you get to school or you get wherever and it's dead. Krishna consciousness is not like that, right? So in the same way, Krishna is so kind that whatever we have gained in Krishna consciousness, it remains, and we just keep progressing. We don't go down. So today I thought, I wanted to talk about why Krishna gives us this opportunity to pick up after where we've left off. So I've thought of three reasons why. First is humility, and the second is that Krishna consciousness is not based on material qualification, and then just to reiterate that Krishna consciousness is not lost despite any fall down that you might have, and any material qualifications that you gain is not, it's not dependent on Krishna consciousness at all. So the first point I wanted to discuss is that he wanted Chitraketu to become humble, right? He was becoming too proud of his status with his fancy airplane traveling throughout outer space. So Chitraketu was so proud, if you really think about it, he was so proud that he insulted the topmost Vaishnava. Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava. We know this. It's insane if you think about it. Like, that would be like some, you know, new bhakta instructing Srila Prabhupada. That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. You know, who would do that? Of course, Srila Prabhupada is very humble. Lord Shiva is very humble. He just smiled, you know. He was like, okay, Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada is also quite humble. I'm saying this because I was thinking of an example that I was listening to in a lecture where this devotee was saying that Prabhupada was in Amsterdam at one time, and the Amsterdam devotees at that time were quite new, and they weren't accustomed to many, but they were told to chant, and they're always, any problem they have, they're told, just chant Hare Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada comes to give initiation, and nothing is ready. And so Prabhupada is saying, there's supposed to be fruits, where are the fruits? And then one devotee runs, and they cut up a bunch of fruits, and they give Prabhupada a bowl of fruits. And Prabhupada is just so fried with these people. And then this, you know, totally spaced out person just turns to Prabhupada and says, just chant Hare Krishna. And then what did Prabhupada do? He wasn't like, you rascal, don't you know who I am? No, he didn't do that. He said, okay, and he starts chanting Hare Krishna. So devotee's always humble, you know, so he's smart. But if you think about it, the devotee of the devotee is not like, oh, Hare Krishna, you know. They get, you know, so Parvati is, you know, she's devoted to her husband, so immediately she gets on it. How dare you insult my husband? I'd get like that too with my husband. Who are you to say this about my husband? So a devotee, a disciple of that, you know, of that personality would immediately, you know, become angry. That's natural. So I just thought that was interesting that, you know, Lord Shiva's so humble, and there's this guy totally just, hey, how can you, like, all these people are here and your wife is sitting on your lap and you're embracing her? What is this nonsense? This is crazy, you know? Another example I was thinking of, so there's so many examples. Another example, very obvious, Bharat Maharaj became attached to a deer and then he fell down and became a deer himself in the next life. So these things happen. You know, oh, you're so puffed up about your position. All right, how about right here? How do you feel now? It's Krishna. That's how he works, how he functions. For the most part, I mean, this is mostly in relation to next life. But, and we, for the most part, we don't remember our next life. Right? Or our past life, sorry. We don't remember our next life because we haven't had it yet. Sorry, our past life. We don't remember our past life. But we do remember things that we've done in this life, right? I remember some time ago here in Mayapur, Mahatma Prabhu gave a class on humility, and he said, think about the worst thing that you've ever done. Now, imagine that you walk into a room full of people and they all know that you did that thing. How would you feel? For the most part, in Mayapur, people already know, but I'm just saying. They know things that you didn't do. It's like that. So it's, you know, so you should have that mood of, you know, that I'm not qualified or I'm not deserving of any position or of any status. That's the mood that you should have. Not like, don't you know who I am? Not that mood. That was the mood that he was trying to bring up, that you should feel like the smallest person. So even if we can't remember what our last life was and whatever, still, we've done something in this life that we can remember and be like, oh yeah, I'm not really that qualified. Not at all. So now that I talked a little bit about how Krishna does this to a devotee to make them humble, now I wanted to talk about how Krishna consciousness and becoming a pure devotee is not based on material qualifications. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, therefore it is said that even if a devotee falls down for some reason, he's still not... Although Vritrasura was known as an asura or demon, he did not lose his consciousness of Krishna or devotional service. So even though he's a demon, even though he's in this low, degraded body, he still was able to remember Krishna. He still had the ability to become Krishna conscious. So don't think that you must have a particular body to be a devotee. An example that's given, another simple example, Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons. But he's considered a really great devotee, a pure devotee. He's an example given in practically almost every Bhagavatam class and every conversation, discussion, whatever. Prahlad Maharaj, perfect example. Another example, Haridas Thakur was born of Muslim parents, right? And he's known as Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, right? He's the example of how to chant and how to love Krishna. And they're not, you know, from high aristocratic families. They're not big brahmanas. They're just simple people. So even we have the ability, us simple people have the ability to become pure devotees. Don't think, oh, I'm not this person, I'm not that person, therefore I can't. No, you have the ability. So many examples are there. Right now, everyone's mind is on Mahabharata right now. I don't know if anyone else is, but mine is because I'm writing the next script. So we're looking, I'm reading now about the Pandavas' exile in the forest. And there is this pastime where Bhima decides he's going to check out the forest. He's going to see what's out there. And he's running through the forest really fast. And he's, you know, knocking things down and killing animals and whatever as he's going. Then there's this giant snake. And the second he comes in contact with the snake, he loses all his strength. And then the snake binds him up, and he's just like, what can I do now? I'm completely weak, I'm completely defenseless. There's nothing I can do. So some time passes, and the snake's like, okay, you know, I'm allowed to take one midday meal, and you are that meal. So he's preparing, you know, he's squeezing the life out of Bhima. Same time, Draupadi and Yudhisthira realize that Bhima hasn't come home yet. It's been some time and he hasn't arrived home yet, or back at their hermitage yet. So Yudhisthira says, okay, I'll go check it out. Arjuna, you protect Draupadi. Nakula, Sahadeva, you protect the Brahmanas. I'm going to go find Bhima. And we were like discussing this. Yudhisthira isn't like a warrior. Like, he doesn't really fight with like swords and bow and arrow, even though he's good at the spear, but he's a fighter with his words. So, you see, he saves his brothers from situations, not with weapons, but with speaking. So anyway, so he grabs his weapons and he's running through the forest and he sees, you know, this snake and Bhima's there and he's caught in the snake's, you know, stranglehold. And he's like, what do I do? And the snake says, well, my name is Nahusha, and I was cursed by Agastya Rishi. And I can only be saved if you answer my questions on spiritual topics. And Yudhisthira's like, great, that's my favorite. He's so excited. He's like, puts down, you know, he's like, Om Namo Bhagavate, you know, he's like, you know, he's excited. He's very excited about this. So what happens? So they have the discussion about spiritual topics, and you know, then you know, Nehushta remembers, you know, everything that he had forgotten about spiritual life, and then he became liberated, and then Bhima was released, and then they went home happily. But what had happened was, so Nehushta was this great and powerful person, and he would travel through the heavens on a golden chariot, and he was so proud that he would collect taxes from everybody. And he had this special power that anyone he saw, they would immediately lose all their energy. So everyone was very scared of him. He would even collect taxes from brahmanas. Brahmanas who have nothing, and he would collect taxes from them. It's crazy. He was so proud that he would have brahmanas drive his chariot. That's how proud he was. One day, Agastya Rishi, he was wandering, and he accidentally touched Agastya Rishi with his foot. And Agastya Rishi immediately cursed him and said, "Oh, you want to touch me with your foot? Okay, you'll be a snake." And he made him a snake, and he said, "Only when you meet a spiritual person who can give instruction, then you'll be liberated." But see, even in that position, see, he's there as a snake. He knew what he did was wrong. He had a chance to become humble, right? And even at that point, okay, Yudhishthira wasn't like, "You're just a snake, I don't care about you," and then left. He wasn't like, "Let me go find some brahmanas." That didn't happen. He was like, "Okay, Hare Krishna, you want to talk about, you know, spiritual knowledge? Me too, that's my favorite topic." And he sat down and he talked about spirituality. So, another example I was thinking of, so that was a nice path. There's many pastimes like this in the Mahabharata and many other scriptures, where you see, you know, immediately they become liberated, and it's, you know, they didn't have to start back at square one, you know, with their spiritual knowledge. They just continue on where they left off. It doesn't require any material qualification. You can be in any position in life, and still, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to be a devotee. That's the kindness of Krishna. Even I was thinking about this nice pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, about this, you know, I think Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India and he saw a brahmana who was holding the Bhagavad Gita and he was crying and crying. Are you familiar with the story? This pastime? He was crying and these other brahmanas are laughing at him and they're like, "That guy's such a fool. He doesn't know what he's talking. You know, he's just sitting there crying. He's such a pretender." And then Lord Chaitanya became very curious and came up to him and he says, "Why are you crying?" And the brahmana said, "Well, I am illiterate. But when I think about how merciful Krishna is, how he's driving the chariot of Arjuna, immediately my eyes become filled with tears." And Lord Chaitanya was like, "This is the perfection," and he embraced him. How wonderful it is to get the embrace of Lord Chaitanya. So even an illiterate person has the ability to become a pure devotee. There's no material qualification. There's not even a time constraint. You don't have to be, you know, it's not like, you know, you have to be a devotee for 100 lifetimes and then you can go back to Godhead, or and then you can get prema bhakti. You know, you can get it in 100 lifetimes, you can get it after 10 years, you can get it after 35 years, you can get it after 1 second. It's not dependent on anything. So now that we talked about material qualification, my third point is just to reiterate the point, because it keeps coming up and up, coming up again and again, that no matter what point you are in life, you don't lose Krishna consciousness. It'll just continue where you leave off. Srila Prabhupada gives this example from Canto 1, Chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything." So it's said in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then it's said right here in the same... in the same purport, "One who is advanced in devotional service, his spiritual assets are never lost under any circumstances. whatever spiritual advancement he has achieved continues. So he doesn't lose anything. Again, again and again and again. It keeps coming up. Again, Bhagavad Gita, right here. We'll see it. Chapter 6, verse 41. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Or he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. On taking a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately, achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. So it comes up again and again and again. Krishna's really like reassuring us, like, don't worry, you're not going to lose it. That doesn't mean you don't try, of course. You must try. You must make some endeavor. It's not like, well, I failed this time, so I'm just going to go back to regular life. In the next life, I'll try again. You have to keep trying. You fall, you come back up again. Like a child. The child falls, they get up, they try walking again. Fall, you get up, and eventually you walk, and you keep walking. It's like that. Right now, with my eighth grade girls at Smith's, we're reading Science of Self-Realization. I start with these like nice beginner books so that by the time they get to like Bhakti Shastri in high school, they've got at least some background. And many of them are born into Krishna consciousness, so they're not really even aware that there are books like this. They come complete with knowledge. So I thought, at least for my own sake, and like to reassure their Bhakti Shastri teacher, they've at least read these beginner books. So Science of Self-Realization, we started reading, and Srila Prabhupada also says in that book the same thing, that having a beautiful body, or being born in a rich family, or a famous family, or a pious family, is due to our past births. But the reason that we're put into those situations is so that we never have to worry about it. And then we can focus all our time for Krishna. So he gives someone a beautiful body so that we don't have to think about becoming beautiful and we can just think about Krishna. Isn't that nice? He says that in Science of Self-Realization. He said the problem is that people don't understand that the purpose of life is Krishna consciousness. So then they just want to become more beautiful or stay beautiful forever. Or, you know, they want more wealth, or they want to be more famous, or they want all those things forever, but that's not the point. The point is you're born into that family, you're born in that situation, so that you don't have to worry about it. Your mind is free. That's pretty nice. I thought that was nice. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's like a big relief, you know? It's like getting all your chores done, and then you can like, relax. So that's how kind Krishna is, that he doesn't take away whatever little advancement we've made. That's his kindness. And then to love Krishna and to become Krishna conscious, it's not dependent on any kind of material advancement. He's not waiting for you to make $1 million to become a pure devotee. He's not waiting for you to, you know, be a devotee for 50 years. To become a pure, he's not waiting for anything like that. He's just waiting for you to approach him in the right way and to have the right mood, which is humility. He needs you to be humble and to love him purely. That's all he's expecting. So today we discussed that whatever progress we've made, Krishna he'll not make you start over. And he'll give you the opportunity to pick yourself up after some time. And it's not based on any material qualification. It's based on humility. It's based on loving Krishna. So, again, Krishna consciousness is not, it's not like my bicycle tire, right? Every bump, every obstacle that I've had, it's not like the tire goes down. Krishna keeps the tire still pumped. It's like that. So don't become distracted whenever we experience some obstacles are normal. It's natural for the conditioned soul to have some obstacle. And don't become disheartened if you experience any obstacle. Instead, we should keep moving forward, like the bicycle. Just keep going. Krishna will keep your tire full. And you just keep going until you get to your destination, whether it's school or temple or Bamanpukur or whatever. Krishna will always make sure that you reach there. So don't lose heart if you make any mistake. Actually, if I could end on a thought, that it's something I always remember. I remember there was one time I did something really dumb one time. And I was feeling so bad, and I thought, man, how will I ever recover from this, you know? And then my husband, sometimes he'll say something that's so, like, profound, and he said this years ago, and I never forgot it. He looked at me and he says, Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with people who have made mistakes, so you're in good company. And I was like, okay. And I was like, that's true. So, and then immediately I felt, you know, like, okay, I can do, you know, I can pick myself up again, you know? So if you make a mistake, just remember that you're in good company. Many people make mistakes, but the point is, you don't just fall off your bicycle and lie on the road. You just keep going. You just keep going until you get to your destination. Krishna has you. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. He's always behind you. He says it again and again and again. I'll end now. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Was hearing your point that Chitrakirtan was proud. That's buttressed by verse 10 here. It says that he thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling his senses. My question is this, that our recent Bhagavatam speakers yesterday and the previous days have been emphasizing that Chitraketu is faultless. You know, it was described as, Lakshana. He had the qualities of a devotee and he accepted the curse totally. Without any false ego, etc. So my question is, was he faultless or was he proud?
I was also thinking about that, but I didn't know how to fit it into the class. But I'm glad you brought that point up. Because this question also, because we're also, you know, everyone is like on a Mahabharat mind right now, they ask the same thing about Yudhisthira. You know, how could he let this gambling match occur? How could he keep gambling? It's the same thing. Actually, Krishna makes arrangements with his devotees so that he could put them in certain situations to have certain pastimes. So he's proud because Krishna made him proud, but he's actually faultless, if that makes sense.
Yes, definitely. That was what Kadamba Kanana Maharaj emphasized yesterday, that actually this was a pastime of the Lord, and the Lord arranged the whole scenario, and it was orchestrated by him, and we have to understand it. Thank you.
So if we do some faultless, we think that's Krishna's arrangement.
Yeah. No. Because even if it's Krishna's arrangement, it's Krishna's arrangement for you to become more humble or to have some realization, even. But that doesn't mean you just do any nonsense and then say, oh, Krishna arranged it for me, that's totally fine, you know? It's an opportunity for you to grow. Yes, Mataji.
So, as far as I remember, all these great souls in the Bhagavatam, great personalities, who got cursed, who made mistakes, then when they got their punishment in the next birth, all of them remembered why they were punished. So I'm wondering, how can we really follow the example, because we don't remember our past lives? We cannot untangle this web of past desires, actions, and reactions. So how can we feel encouraged to follow them and inspired instead of feeling like discouraged?
Like I said, even though we don't remember our past life, we have still done some pretty bad stuff.
Yes, but it's kind of theoretical knowledge for us. We know philosophically it must be our past karma, but we don't remember, not like the Mahajans in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. I mean, another, just because you should always remain humble. So even if you think, yes, this is due to my past karma, actually I deserve worse than this, but Krishna is so kind, he's only giving me, like, you know, a little pinch instead of the big punch, you know? So just think, okay, well, could have been worse. And as they were saying previously, in this whole pastime of Chitraketu, that happiness and distress is actually just a state of mind. Due to our attachment to our mind and the material world, we're experiencing happiness and distress, but actually the material nature is just functioning according to its own duties, according to its own nature. And we associate ourselves with it, and therefore we experience happiness and distress. But happiness and distress actually doesn't exist in the material world. It doesn't. It says so. So the moment we can realize that, then happiness and distress doesn't become an issue, and then the real happiness comes in when we experience a relationship with Krishna. So, again, I mean, the pastimes are there for you to think about it and say, okay, they pick themselves up too, I can also pick my... I mean, at least we're not fighting demons, okay? I can say that. You know, you read these past, they're fighting literal demons, okay? We just have, you know, a little gossip here, and so-and-so did this to me here. Demons! So at least you don't have that. At least say that. So, yeah, just try. You just, Krishna consciousness, it's a journey. You know, it's not like, you know, I take initiation and I wake up and, like, you know, some heavenly beings, like, lift, you know, I'm like walking on air and, you know, I'm suddenly filled with transcendental ecstasy. It's not like that. It means you just turned your head to Krishna instead of looking at Maya all the time. So just keep going. You just have to keep going. That's all. Keep chanting Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, just wanted to add the comment that Srila Prabhupada explained that the success in our Krishna consciousness is in the relationship with the spiritual master. So when one can please the spiritual master, all things are possible. All success is available. Everything is there.
Jai, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Can someone else's curse act? I had a bad feeling once. I was in a room and my roommates were a little upset with me. And I felt so bad, you know, he did something to me, believe me, you know, I'm sure. So, but I'm still a devotee, you know, why Krishna, am I able to express that?
So your roommate,
yeah,
does your roommate curse you?
Whatever, yeah, I feel like, you know, I was not feeling good at all, you know, my head was like, I was feeling bad.
Huh. Okay. So you're wondering if he cursed you, or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, consider that Chitraketu was also cursed, and he was completely indifferent to it. He said, okay, whether if I'm in the heavenly planets, if I'm in the hellish planets, as long as I'm your devotee, I'm happy. No one can curse you to not be a devotee.
No one can, they can say, you know, I curse you to, you know, lose all your wealth. I curse you to, you know, whatever. They can curse you in so many different, they cannot, no one can curse you to become a non-devotee. That's entirely up to you. So, even if he cursed you, you're in good company. There's no problem. You'll be okay. You're still here, and you're in Mayapur Dham. It's very fortunate. So at least at this point, you came here. I've had many curses. Don't worry. You'll be fine. You're not as bad as me, I'm sure. So even if he curses you, just think, okay, I still have Krishna. Krishna's still with me. This is the ultimate thing. He can't take Krishna away from you. Krishna is yours. Does that answer your question?
We were discussing that there is no loss in devotional service, whatever you left off. And I was just, I remembered that I heard such an example that if you offend a devotee, if you make Vaishnava Paratha, it's like your Bhakti Lata will be uprooted, like completely. And then it will be like very, very bad. So it's like, how can you, it's not a contradiction, but how can you reconcile this? If you could say a few words.
You and your sister with these hard questions. So on one hand, yes, Vaishnava Aparad can destroy your Bhakti Lata beach, but at the same time, no one can take your whatever advancement that you've made, right? That's the predicament. Yes, but until you mitigate, until you remove that Aparad, then you can continue again. So it's not like you again have to like grow up from a seed. It'll again continue. The thing is, it stops. That's what happens. But it doesn't, it's not like everything is lost and you're like a lowly demon and whatever again. It becomes like that if you create the aparad, but then you don't rectify it. So if you don't ask for forgiveness or if you don't have a change of heart even, then yeah, then you'll fall. I've had this happen in my life with other people who make offenses to me, and then I just said, okay, Hare Krishna, I don't mind, whatever Krishna wants. And then afterwards, they're done. They're totally finished. They're not devotees anymore. I've seen this in my life. It's terrible. So, but if they come to me and we work it out and we're okay, maybe they would have still been a devotee and they could have just picked up from where they left off, but now they're completely destroyed. It happens. It's no joke. Yeah, Krishna doesn't take Vaishnava Aparad very lightly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just want to make a small comment on the question of Sadhana Mataji. I remember in Vrindavan once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Swami gave a very nice class and he commented on this point that when you make mistake, he say, yes, we may make mistakes. Krishna allowed us to make mistakes because we have our minute free will. But this does not mean that he likes what when you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So if we remember this, it's more difficult for us to commit consciously mistake. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Is there any other questions? Comments? Okay.
Okay, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with you. Please forgive any offenses that I've made knowingly or unknowingly. Karthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.